Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June 25th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock. Not everyone knows, but Wrangell does have a fairly new yoga business called Mystic Harbor Yoga Room. It offers 3 classes a week. With us today, we have the teacher, Darla Gerard, who is the founder of Mystic Harbor. We're going to learn a little bit about this business and how yoga can be beneficial to people. You can call in to ask a question. The number is 2KSTK is 874-2345. Hi, Darla. Thanks for coming in and chatting. How are you
today? I'm doing wonderful. Stoked to be here, actually.
Great. Awesome. And okay, so you're a yoga teacher here in Wrangell. Yoga contributes, from my understanding, to people's health in a physical manner, emotional, mentally, and spiritual. Can you explain how yoga does all of that?
It's a pretty amazing healing art. Yoga is very old in the traditions of it. Can date back almost 5,000 years. If you start looking into some of the yoga texts, they weren't even written. They were verbally transferred. But it's a holistic healing method. And a lot of the poses that are designed in yoga benefit the internal body, the internal being. So you may come just looking, I have an injury, I have a backache, my stomach bothers me, oh, I can't do upside down things, I get dizzy. But because of yoga's holistic background and what it touches in the body, we have energy lines in our body. It helps to heal. It helps to nourish. And a lot of people walk away from their illnesses and never have any problems. I myself am a cancer survivor, never went through chemo or radiation, told I'd be dead in 5 years, and I'm sitting in front of you today 20 years later. So,
wow.
And I attribute it to my yoga practice, staying healthy and strong and walking the streets all the time. You know, and people look at yoga and go, well, it's just exercise. It's not just exercise. When I'm teaching yoga, you don't know the intricacies of what I'm teaching you, but I'm teaching you things about your body that are helping you heal, be it anxiety, depression, anything. You can walk away from whatever you have an issue with and find help with yoga.
Well, how often, okay, so during that time when you had cancer, how often were you practicing yoga and how often do you practice now?
When I went through, I didn't even know I had cancer because I was so healthy in general, found it, and I was probably practicing yoga 3 to 5 days a week and teaching, I don't know, 5 classes, 7 classes a week at the time. I was in my 40s. I'm 62 now. So I feel as healthy as I did when I was in my 40s. Some things I can't do like I did. And now I practice probably not so much on the mat in a yoga room because we don't have a studio. Mine's the only place. But I practice on my own. And I believe that when you learn what you learn on the mat in yoga, you can take that expression out into the world. So if you take that attitude and that gratefulness and what you learn in class, it's a feeling. I can't even describe it. It's a feeling you get. That brings light to you into the world. So your practice is taken out into the streets every day, not just on your mat. So, you know, but steady practice, I might do 2 or 3 hours a week, but I teach now 3 classes a week too. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so I feel like, you know, my next question is why is yoga important to you? Can you just elaborate a little more on that?
It's always been something that intrigued me since I was in my 20s. So for almost 40 years or probably more now, I've been practicing it. I didn't know a lot about it, just took it on because yoga's cool. I'm going to do yoga. But it's always gave me a sense of fulfillment. It gives you a sense of confidence. I just have a more humble, grateful feeling for life, especially obviously being a cancer survivor. And I think that practice is important because without it, I just don't feel like myself sometimes. You know, it's a sense of well-being that you can't get from any form of exercise. You can get a high from exercise. And I like to tell my students, I go, yoga's better than crack. I go, hopefully none of you done crack. But it's like that feeling, like you just feel good. So that's, I need that. I need that addiction. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the feeling is sustainable, yes. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It lasts long.
It does.
What inspired you? Okay, so what inspired you to start doing yoga and what inspired you to begin teaching yoga?
An amazing lady, my mentor, my guru. I was doing yoga for probably 15, 20 years, you know, into my 20s, into my late 30s. And I walked into a yoga studio in Teton Valley, Idaho, and I wanted to start taking classes at this new studio. And I sat down with this beautiful woman, and she just had such a presence. I sat with her, and she talked to me and told me about the classes and where I should start, what I should do. And I left that day, and I said to myself, I want whatever she has. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to get it. And now, meanwhile, I'd already been practicing yoga 15 years, 20 years. But when I met her, I realized there was more to yoga than just a physical yoga practice. And that's that sense of like just being, like being working from inside out, not just my physical body. And so I started studying with her, and that was back in 1999. And to this day, I still study with her. She's one of my very best friends and teachers and instructors, worldwide known, does retreats and workshops everywhere. So I give credit to her for being on this journey that I'm on. So.
What's her name?
Sundari Lucy. You can look her up. Yoga Alliance, you'll find her. She's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. And then so you just moved here about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Tell me, what inspired you to start teaching yoga here?
Oh, goodness. You know, wherever I go, I feel like I need to teach yoga. I don't know what it is, but I need to teach yoga. It's a part of me now. It's not something I can just throw away and never do. It's just, it's that important to me. I came here, a friend came, and they said to me, would you come and build our greenhouse for us? Because I'm a builder by trade. And I said, sure, absolutely. It's my 60th birthday this year, so I guess I'll buy a ticket to Alaska. So I bought a ticket to Alaska on my 60th birthday, stayed, and then the first thing I realized, I was in the chiropractic office. I'm like, is there a place to take yoga? He's like, nope. I'm like, what do you mean, nope? Well, maybe the rec center. They used to have a yoga gal, and they did have a girl for a while, and I got to go to some classes, but they were never, it's not a formal class, it's just fun at the rec center. And so I've just tried for the last year and a half. I've been, can I teach yoga? Can I? And it just seems like businesses were in transition. I was in transition, and it just didn't happen right away. And then this past summer, I asked someone if I could use a room in their home and start a yoga practice and call it the yoga room. And they let me do it. So here I am.
Yeah, here you are.
Here I am.
If we could do yoga right now on the radio, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great. I'd feel at home.
Yeah. So, okay. So I know I've seen the flyers you dropped off, right. Some of the flyers, and I've seen them around too. When did the Mystic Harbor Yoga Room start? Was it just last, like in May or?
My first class was actually June 3rd. I taught a class, but Mystic Harbor has been in my brain for about a year. And, you know, I live on the water over here, and I watch the harbor daily, and I watch the mist in the morning and the clouds and the sunsets and just watching the fog come off the water. And I grew up on the East Coast on the harbors, so in Gloucester, Mass. So I just have this thing about the mist, and I like the rain. Well, anyway, one of my favorite songs is Mystic, Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. And I feel like when you listen to that song, it kind of takes you inside of yourself to know that there's more that could be revealed about yourself. So I tried to incorporate that mystic and not be the mystic mystery with what we have here on this beautiful island, the mist, the harbor. So Mystic Harbor.
Yeah. And so just to give some context, Mystic is spelled MIST-IC.
Yeah.
Mystic Harbor Yoga Room.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is there... Well, never mind. Okay, so how's the business going here?
You know, it's been better than I thought at first because it's a small room that I'm working out of now, and I can have up to 8 students and 6 comfortably. It's very intimate and private, so I really teach rather than we just do. We learn a lot about the body. So people are finding it interesting. I think it's not your just average everyday yoga class where you do 15 poses and you do the same 15 poses every day. It's always something new, and it's building to something new every time you come. So I'm getting repeat people. They're signing up ahead of time. It is by registration, which is a bummer, but it's a small room. So if you like it, you have to sign up ahead of time to get your space. But coming up shortly, I will have a place that will be doing drop-in classes on a Saturday morning. And if all goes well, it'll be the Sourdough Lodge, and it'll be at 8:30 on Saturday morning, starting on July 13th. So let's cross our fingers that it all happens.
Yeah, yeah. I'm crossing them.
All right.
So, okay, so you said you started the teacher training in 1999, so that's about 25 years of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been practicing for?
Oh, well, I would say since I was about 17, so probably closer to 40-something years, because I'm 62, so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a ways.
Well, yeah, definitely. So you're Yoga Alliance certified RYT, which means Registered Yoga Therapist.
No, it's called ERYT, so it's an Experienced Registered Yoga Teacher. So being an experienced registered yoga teacher at a 500-hour level, I can train people and they can get credit to become a teacher, and I can teach workshops where teachers can be taught. So it's kind of a long journey, and you have 500 hours, that's your basic training. But the reality is I probably have 1,500 hours of study to be that level. And then I have about 5,000 teaching hours to be in that position. So it's kind of a, you feel really humble to be sitting in that seat, because honestly, I learn from my students every day. But it is something to achieve that finally in your yoga career.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of years.
And yeah, so you started learning how to teach. You started taking these classes in Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your teacher.
Yeah.
Did you travel anywhere else for that too?
Yes, I did. So a lot of the traveling was within the United States for a lot of the big teacher trainings. But you're training with masters of yoga. And then I've traveled to Thailand and studied in Thailand with shamans, some background in Thai yoga therapy, which is called Nuad Boran. And it's a Thai massage. But really what it is I do yoga with you and guide you through a yoga practice on the floor. So I got really in depth with that. So a lot of my background is therapeutic yoga too. So I did a lot of studying in Thailand, studied in Canada, studied in Mexico, taught in Mexico. Yeah, it's kind of well-rounded, if you will.
Yeah, definitely global. It sounds amazing to just see all those beautiful places too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, you had different trainings. What can you just, do we have a call? We have a call.
Well, she wanted me to relay the message.
Okay.
So that's Maria Byford.
Okay, so Maria Byford says she would like to know, I was going to ask you this too later on. What type of yoga do you teach?
Well, I've learned a lot of different styles. So there's everything from Hatha yoga, Bhakti yoga, Kama yoga, Jhana yoga. But basically what we teach here is a Hatha style of yoga. It's a physical form yoga. And I do teach some of the meditation. We teach some pranayama. But I've trained in Ashtanga, Iyengar, Anyasara. Oh, they call it hot yoga, some of it, the Bikram yoga. So I've got a well-rounded background in a lot of it, vinyasa yoga, flow yoga, yin yoga, and so you put it all together. And so I like to call it Darla's yoga now. It's actually a culmination of all of my trainings. I have a great background in philosophy, in the history of yoga. So I don't necessarily come in and say, I'm going to teach you guys a spiritual practice of yoga, because truly yoga was a spiritual practice 5,000 years ago. But that is incorporated into what you teach. Every pose you do, every move you make, learning to breathe, learning to use your breath and meditate and sit quiet with yourself is all part of diving in to your beauty, the divineness within you. And that's the spiritual practice. But yet it comes out because you learn the Hatha yoga that's taking you inside.
Okay, so there's lots of different kinds of yoga. You mentioned quite a few different kinds. I practice as well, but I'm not, you know, I'm learning the languages. So Hatha, as you said, is active,
mm-hmm.
physically active.
Mm-hmm.
And then you incorporate all the other kinds, which are, there's different how can, like, in English describe?
So hatha yoga is basically your poses, and that is what every style of yoga comes from. So hatha yoga is just the style, and then each teacher or each guru or mentor will take their style. Like Bikram, he took his and chose so many poses. There's two different practices that he does. He chose so many poses to be in his hot yoga sequence. So when you teach it, he copyrighted it, and Bikram yoga is these poses, and this is what you teach if you're a Bikram yoga certified teacher. I was an Anyasara certified teacher for a lot of years before I dropped away and just did my own thing. And so with Anyasara, we didn't necessarily have a sequence, but we had what we taught from our book of yoga, and that was Anyasara yoga, which was a yoga that came from the heart with yoga practices that had a true intention. We'd create an intention at beginning of class. We'd do some pranayama meditation, even chanting. And then we had a sequence of yoga poses that we would teach throughout the class. And we learned them a certain way. Strict alignment, strict way we put our bodies, how we move the bodies, using muscle energy and organic energy. And this was a system by John Friend. And John Friend has a little bit of a bad rap in the world of yoga right now. Some things he did, but you know, we're all human, and we have to realize that even though we're diving into this deep old spiritual practice, we're all human. So he fell away from Anyasara, and he has another style of yoga now that he's stepped back into it. We've got Ashtanga yoga that dedicates the eight limbs of yoga. There are eight limbs that you work through. It's like climbing a ladder, and each limb teaches you something else about the yoga system and the tradition. So Ashtanga has a set sequence of practice. Flow yoga, Vini yoga, Vinyasa yoga, just fun. You put a bunch of poses together, you flow through them, you have fun. Sometimes we add music. So there's all of these different ones out there. And I also like to teach a very therapeutic style of yoga. And I use a lot of bolsters, props, blocks, blankets, belts. And that comes from my Iyengar background. So BKS Iyengar, in my eyes, is kind of the guru of yoga that he brought it to America. It wasn't really him. It was some of his teachers that came. But he's the name you recognize, BKS Iyengar. And he's the one that taught everybody there's a holistic purpose to yoga. So those are some of them.
Yeah. And so Darla's yoga is a combination of all those different modalities.
Whatever I feel like teaching that day.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. I love therapeutic yoga, too. It feels great.
It does. It does.
Okay. So what, like, can you just go back in your memory, what was your training like? I mean, you've been training for a long time. You know, but is there any memorable thing?
Yeah. I'll tell you about my first training. I didn't ever expect to be a teacher of yoga. I just fell in love with it from the moment I began studying with this one particular teacher. And she had great teachers that worked under her in her studio. And I started studying with one of the other fellas that was a teacher there. And anyway, he said to me one day, "You've just got to be a teacher." And I went, "I don't know about that. I just really want to do yoga. Just let me do my yoga." He's like, "No, come on. I'll get you on the road." And he said, "I'll pay for your first teacher training. That's how good I think you'll be at this." He goes, "I see it in you." I said, "No, just let me teach in the classroom first. Just let me work with it here and see if I even could fit into this module or whatever you want me to do." So he did. He would teach a class. He'd tell me what his theme was, because at the time we were Anyasara teachers. And he would say, "Okay, this is what I'm going to teach. Now I want you to teach the forward bending section of this class." I'm like, "Okay." So I'd put my little 15-minute sequence together. He'd introduce me, and I'd start teaching in the class. So that's where it began. And even then, I was kind of like, not really me. But in the same sense, there's a feeling in yoga that takes over, and it's not really me teaching. It's something bigger that has taught me, and I'm giving you the gifts of all my teachers. So I'm sort of the connection, if you will, to someone bigger than I am. So anyway, then he sent me off to my first teacher training, and it was a big one. I went to a place where there was over 100 people to go study with John Friend in Anyasara yoga. And I was blown away. And to watch some of the most amazing teachers and yogis and gurus and meditation and music and chanting people, I was in shock is the only word for it. In fact, one of my classes, I finally said to him, I said, "You know, I don't know if I can do this. This is too intense for me. I don't think I'm cut out. These people are too good. And I broke out crying in a cold sweat. And I'm like, I just can't be here. And he's like, no, you belong here. And he goes, there's a reason you're in this room. And nobody would have sent you here if they didn't think you belong. So I made it through my first week-long training. And it was a big one, over 100 people in that room being trained in Anusara. And when you leave that room, out of those 100 people, there's probably only 10 of us that are still teachers of that style of yoga.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was intimidating.
Where was that one?
That was in Denver, Colorado. It was a big thing. So, and like I said, John Friend, he took BKS Iyengar, who was the Indian, the Hindu person that brought all of those studies to the United States. He took his, and he really put a Western swing on it where we could understand it and put it into alignment-based geometry, if you will, with the body, and showed us how to use the body real mechanically and technically, but then bring your heart into that practice and let the pose like grow like flower. So he was amazing. He really was. And a big credit to John Friend, you know?
So. Yeah. So earlier you said you really learned from the students. How have students taught you?
You know, every student is so different and every body is so different. So when I'm working in a group, and I really love the smaller groups these days, but even big groups, when I'm looking at a whole big group and I see something that's not really alignment based, because I like people to be safe. You can do your own yoga. I have no problem with how anyone wants to do their yoga or their pose. But when I teach it, I really want them to find the intricate moments where their body moves. And so I watch bodies move and I realize not all bodies can do the same thing. So I almost have that epiphany, if you will, where how can I go over and show them what I'm trying to express? And I find within me a better way to teach. So every body moves differently. And then everybody's reaction to a pose. I mean, I've had students break down and cry in classes. And, you know, there's anxiety, there's trauma in their lives. They've, you know, grown up differently than what they're used to. They're not used to being in big rooms with people. And so I learn about people's mental issues and I learn how to work with them. Right now I have a woman who has a traumatic brain injury in one of my classes. And I'm learning from her how to make a better, a better modality for her, because she can't go upside down. She can't do a lot of things. She still has double vision in an eye. And I hope she's okay if she hears this with me saying this. I won't say her name. But, you know, and so I'm watching her and it's amazing to see her. And how do I make her balance get better? So it's teaching me to be a better teacher, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And teaching you, I guess, like in a way to align yourself with another person.
Absolutely. And that's what I try to do. And when it's a room full of 15 or 20 people, it's a little harder being the only teacher. But in these smaller groups that I've been teaching, it's been really nice because I can really help people a lot more.
Yeah, great. And so how have you seen yoga benefit other people?
You know, I think a lot of the times for the majority of what I've seen is people come that have depression. And people with ADHD, anxiety, and people that are overweight or want to quit smoking, those kind of things I've seen. And I didn't really know about these things when you meet the student. You just think they want to come to yoga. And then as you become their teacher and they begin to trust you, because trust is a big factor in yoga with a lot of the things we do, they begin to tell me their story. And so I always share mine back so that they're comfortable. But they start to tell me the story. I've seen dramatic weight loss. I've seen depression. I've seen, you know, and I probably shouldn't put this kind of things on the air, like women that have been beat by husbands that were strong enough and gained enough self-confidence with them to walk away from relationships and find themselves again. You know, ADHD, it teaches children. I've taught in high schools and little like elementary schools and preschools, and it teaches kids to be calm. I teach them songs, I chant with them. So it's a major world shaker when you start to see how differently it affects everybody, you know?
Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. Okay, and so what challenges come with yoga that you faced or like have you heard of?
I guess the biggest challenge I see, and it's kind of a stigma, is that the Eastern style of yoga, where it came from, the Asian countries, if you will, there's a lot of different styles of yoga over there, and the Western world, meaning us here in the United States, the UK, all of this kind of thing, is that we don't see yoga on the same level. The Western world, we sort of look in the mirror and we expect ourselves to look a certain way or feel a certain way. Or, my hair don't look good today. I don't feel good today. And so they want yoga to sort of transform them. Maybe they want their butt to look good so they come to yoga class. I don't know. But when you really look at the Eastern approach to yoga, it was more about how do we heal our bodies? And by healing inside and expressing gratitude from your heart, that's really what heals you, you know, and knowing love and loving kindness. And how do you take that into the world? But really, the Western world, we just want to go to a gym class. And so I have a hard time trying to find that balance where I can bring in truly the heart of yoga and balance it with the gymnastics of the Western world of yoga. And it's happening. We're seeing it change. So,
yeah, great. And is there a reason why someone should not go to yoga?
I would say absolutely not. There is not one single reason. You could come with a brand new injury. If you've got a good, all right, one reason. If your teacher's not very good, no, I'm kidding. All yoga teachers mean well at heart. We're all good. But some teachers are trained better to work with injuries and brain stuff and, you know, losing weight and how do we set up a program that you can work with. And, you know, women that are a little heavier, overweight, men that are overweight, they feel no confidence. So they need self-confidence. So if you got a teacher that's willing to work with you individually, I think that there is nothing to stop anybody to go to a yoga class.
Great. Thank you. So, okay, you have a schedule, as we mentioned before earlier. And it looks like you offer classes Thursday evenings from 6 to 7:15 p.m. Mm-hmm. and Tuesday and Saturday mornings from 8:30 to 9:45 a.m. for June and July. Mm-hmm. Plus, of course, private instruction is available. Could you speak a little bit about your courses here?
Basically, I'm starting out with a lot of all levels, so you can feel welcome as a beginner or you can feel welcome as an advanced yogi because I teach options in every pose. I give you this option, or this a level to try. So you can try each one, and students that are beginners get to see the advanced students do more work. So that's awesome. And then I teach one that's sort of an intro beginner on Thursday night, and we do restorative work. We work a lot with bolsters and props to help people be in the poses more. If you're really stiff or have an injury over 55, afraid of yoga, Thursday night's a great class. Saturday morning, just a little bit more light class, fun, but I still, being the teacher I am, integrate alignment, and you'll hear me say things over and over and really help you find a pose so you don't get hurt and you don't get injured. And then once we've got a good group of yogis, I hope we can start doing different level classes and so integrate more this fall, which is great.
Great. And that could help, you know, formulate a community of yoga.
It's called the Kula, Kula of Yoga. It's a community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how can people sign up?
They can go to mhyoga@yahoo.com, send me an email and I'll register you for one of the classes, or you can text me at 208-351-5719 and you can register for a class that way or inquire and I can give you a call, whatever you need. But I will be posting on Wrangell Community page, and we will also, I do have a new Facebook page that I'm really terrible at, but it's MH Yoga Room on Facebook, Mystic Yoga Room. So find that, and I'll try to keep everything updated there. Mystic Harbor Yoga Room, sorry.
Yes, Mystic
Harbor Room.
Yes, awesome. Okay, and do people need to bring a yoga mat and other accessories to your classes?
My small classes in the room, I have everything you will need to show up in a class. Just bring yourself and a bottle of water or whatever else you'd like to bring. And the classes that I'll be offering at Saturday at the Sourdough Lodge, it will be bring your own mat if you have one. If you don't, reach out to me at either my email or my phone number, and I can bring a mat with me for you on Saturday morning starting July 13th. But other than that, I'll have blocks and belts and everything we need to do that Saturday class.
Oh, awesome. Great. And is there anything else you'd like to add about Mystic Harbor Yoga Room?
Just that I'm really grateful to be in this cool little community in Wrangell. It's been one of those places I rolled in on the ferry at 1 a.m. and thought, wow, I love this quirky little place. So I'm really hoping yoga grows, and I've gotten to meet some wonderful people already, and I think we're going to have a good little yoga community if I can get it going. Maybe even some more teachers will want to get involved. So,
yeah. So exciting. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in to talk over the radio about Mystic Harbor and your experience with yoga. So that was Darla Gerard talking about her business, Mystic Harbor Yoga Room.